Joe Bud Market Street. This is BeelPod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from the main branch of the San Francisco Public Library. Today is Thursday, the 22nd of May, 2014. On this date, in 334 BC, short gay genius Alexander the Great defeated Darius III of Persia in the Battle of Granicus. 1807, former Vice President of the United States Aaron Burr is convicted of treason. 1819, the SS Savannah leaves port in Savannah, arriving in, on the 20th of June in Liverpool to become the first transatlantic steamship. 1849, President Abraham Lincoln is issued a patent for an invention to lift boats over obstacles in a river. This is the only patent ever issued to a U.S. president. 1939, the Axis is formed in the so-called Pact of Steel between Germany and Italy, later including Japan. 1943, Joseph Stalin disbands the Comintern. 1960, an earthquake measuring 9.5 on the Richter scale hits southern Chile. It is the most powerful earthquake ever reported. In 1964, U.S. President Lyndon Johnson announces, quote, an end to poverty and racial injustice, end quote, in America, which later became known as the Great Society Program. 1972, Nixon arrives in Moscow for his first and only visit as president, signing the SALT Treaty limiting nuclear missiles. 1977, President Jimmy Carter, illustrating how awesome he is, in a speech delivered at Notre Dame University, reaffirms U.S. commitment to human rights as a cornerstone of U.S. foreign policy and disparages, quote, the inordinate fear of communism, which once led us to embrace any dictator who joined us in that fear, end quote. 1980, Namco releases Pac-Man. 1990, after 150 years apart, Yemen is reunited. Birthdays today are composer Richard Wagner, writer Arthur Conan Doyle, Belgian cartoonist Hergé, actor Laurence Olivier, oil man turned wind man T. Boone Pickens, and beloved San Francisco supervisor Harvey Milk, as well as well-known Georgian painter Irakli Pargiani. Today is the International Day for Biological Diversity. Thanks again for those posting on our forum. We had questions about the bad gas article. Jody put in the link for any of you. Really read this article if you can. It's a great piece of work. Also, a correction from William, and I quote, Conchita is not a transsexual. He is a guy called Tom that occasionally dresses up as Conchita, whose character is a bearded lady, possibly trans, who knows. In his own word, he is, quote, just dressing up and painting, end, end quote. So, apologies for the label, just a guy dressing up, and there ain't nothing wrong with that. If you'd like to comment on the blog or ask us a question, go to tpeelpod.com or send us an email at tpeelpod@gmail.com. Be sure to check out tpeelpod.com's database, which has tons of interesting stuff. If you see anything we're missing, let us know. Check it out at www.tpeelpod.com/database, or check the main site on the right-hand side up at the top of the right-hand margin. There are several people reported missing and one dead after a massive landslide struck the Dariali Valley in northern Georgia on the 17th of May. 1 million cubic meters of rock tumbled down into Dariali Valley, clogging the river Tergi and blocking the Georgian military highway. The missing include Georgian, Turkish, and Ukrainian nationals. 164 people were rescued out of the disaster area, mostly construction workers. The Interior Ministry evacuated a further 150 people from the Larsi border crossing between Russia and Georgia, including border guards, police employees, Revenue Service employees, and civilians. A search operation for the missing persons is in progress, but the high water levels make it difficult to access the massive landslide area. Road traffic is now prohibited in the entire valley. The Kazbegi-Larsi checkpoint, which is the only border crossing between Russia and Georgia, is still not operational. Bulldozers and other heavy equipment that were being used to construct the Dariali hydropower plant caught in the other side of the landslide are now being used to clear debris from the gorge. The only way to reach the other side of the Dariali gorge is by helicopter, but it can't deliver fuel for the heavy equipment. According to the Interior Ministry, the Russian Ministry of Emergency Situations provided fuel from the Larsi side of the border crossing so that the clearing of the debris can continue. In a written statement, Prime Minister Irakli Kharabashvili thanked Russia for offering assistance in response to the landslide. Three hydropower plants are being built in the vicinity of the disaster area. One began operation last January. Government officials say construction of the power plants was not the cause of the disaster, demonstrating that the landslide struck 20 kilometers away from the Dariali power plant. However, the environmental group Green Alternative said that 2 years ago they warned that building the hydro plant might increase the risk of natural disasters and filed a complaint against the company behind all three projects. The company overseeing the project is called Dariali Energy. We'll post the ownership on the forum. Green Alternative warned that the construction was diverting 80 to 90% of the Tergi River and increased the risk of serious damage and natural disasters in the Dariali Valley. The International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia on the 17th of May was marked not by LGBT rights activists, but by Orthodox groups and priests who rallied in the streets of Tbilisi to observe a new Day of Family Values and protest the anti-discrimination bill recently adopted in Parliament. Although a little bit watered down from the first draft, the law clearly states that no person can be discriminated against based on their sexual orientation. The demonstrators gathered outside Philharmonia in the morning and marched down Rustavelli Avenue and then towards Samippa Cathedral, where Patriarch Ilya II held a religious service at noon. Afterwards, outside the old Parliament building on Rustavelli, a few hundred people rallied to demand the authorities revoke the anti-discrimination law. Early on the 18th of May, an art installation called The Protest of the Invisibles was organized on Pushkin Square in Tbilisi. More than 100 pairs of shoes were placed in the square as a sign of solidarity with the invisibles. The concept of the protest, according to notes left nearby, was that the empty shoes represented those people whose voices were not heard by both the government and society, and also those who, on the 17th of May, 1 year ago, were brave enough to stand against the invisibility of the LGBT community. Other protests of the invisibles were held on the 18th of May. Note the rainbow flags there were notes with rainbow flags and raising awareness about LGBT discrimination were posted throughout the city. And, of course, the stairs outside of Freedom Square Metro were painted in rainbow colors along their edges. Maybe some people saw that on Facebook. On the 19th of May, a group of conservatives demonstrated outside the Georgian Public Broadcaster demanding it shut down the TV program Red Zone after the show dedicated its Saturday show to a discussion on homophobia with the brilliant Gogi Gvaharia. After the discussion, they showed Pierre Pinault's Early Frost and Lia Jacheli's Mother, Father, I Am Gay. Protesters held posters with messages of, quote, "Don't you care how your children grow up," end quote, and, quote, "Close Gvaharia's filthy show," and "Managers of Channel 1 should resign." Minister of Justice Teta Lukiani commented on the anti-discrimination bill and said that she's worried that the law makes Ilya II concerned and nervous. According to her, same-sex marriage and same-sex physical proximity between people is a major sin. Interesting to have religious interpretations by the Minister of Justice. The CEC registered a total of 20 political parties and 4 election blocks that will run in the 15th of June local elections. City councils, also known as sacrobulos, are elected through the mixed system. Part of the sacrobulo members are elected in a majoritarian single-mandate constituency through a first-past-the-post, winner-take-all system. Another part, through party list, will be proportional. The political party or bloc has to get at least 4% of the votes in a respective municipality in order to endorse members of the sacrobulo through party list, proportional contest. All 14 people who applied to run for mayor of Tbilisi in the June 25th elections were registered as candidates by the CEC. The candidates are Dato Narmania, former Minister of Infrastructure, nominated by Georgian Dream; Nika Melia, nominated by the UNM. He serves as head of Tbilisi's Tatsminda district and chaired the National Bureau of Enforcement before the 2012 parliamentary elections. Dima Lord Kipanidze, named by a coalition of the Christian Democratic Movement and Nino Borjanadze's party. Kaka Kukava, named by the New Rights and Free Georgian parties. Member of Parliament Georgi Gachachiladze, leader of the Green Party of Georgia. He quit the Georgian Dream parliamentary faction in February. Asma Tabaladze, an actress who was named by the Labor Party. Irma Inashvili, who runs the media outlet Objektivi, was nominated by the Alliance of Patriots of Georgia. Temor Murvanidze, a set designer nominated by ex-foreign minister Salome Zurabashvili's party, Georgia's Way. Sergo Javakhidze, nominated by Self-Governance for the People, an election bloc of two small parties. He received 0.13% of the votes in the 2013 presidential election. Irakli Hlonti, of the Reformers Party. Mikhail Gelasulashvili, nominated by the In the Name of the Lord is Our Truth Party, catchy name, that received 0.08% of the votes in the 2013 presidential election. If you do the math, that indicates that really only family members voted for them and several cousins were too busy to show up to the polls. Gio Liloashvili, nominated by the Merab Kostava Society, who received 0.12% in the 2013 presidential elections. Gheorghe Laridze of Future Georgia Party, who ran in the Tbilisi mayor's race in 2010 and received 0.14% of the votes. Rowan Liparteliani, nominated by the Council of Georgian Workers. I'm just wondering the conversations that they had with their friends about, should I run again this year, and what the friends said to them, like, yeah, yeah, Rowan, I think you got it this time. I'm curious, like, what they get out of this, but I don't know. As a reminder, a candidate has to win more than 50% of the votes in the first round to be declared an outright winner without having a runoff. That 50% threshold is very, very important. It was changed to 30% under the National Movement, which was a really terrible and very dangerous decision. And this government tried to keep that, but in the end did the right thing and moved it back to 50%. Discussions are underway on the topic of who will sign the association agreement with the EU on the 27th of June. In the context of ongoing speculation that President Margvelashvili and Prime Minister Khatabashvili are at odds with each other, especially after BI publicly expressed his disappointment with Margvelashvili back in March. Although Khatabashvili did not respond directly when asked last week about who will sign the agreement, saying that Georgia will sign. Some officials, such as the state minister for Euro-Atlantic integration issues, Alex Petriashvili, said that it will be the prime minister signing it. Margvelashvili said that they are discussing the topic, but that he thinks it would be appropriate if he, as head of state, put his name to the agreement instead of the prime minister. This illustrates the problem of the current system. Who's the boss? Khatabashvili is the boss, but officially, Margvelashvili is the head of state, which, I don't know. The government plans to create a unified system to cap salary bonuses for people working in government structures after leaked information revealed that prison ministry staff received bonuses totaling 40,000 lari each, up to that amount. Prison Minister Sosar Subadi responded that he didn't approve the bonuses and that the leaked information was ungrounded. He didn't mention if it was true or not, just that it was ungrounded. But it's true. So that would be a good thing. A lot of the bonuses were set up under the National Movement to really circumvent that, and a lot of public officials made really huge salaries. According to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Italian authorities revoked a friendship agreement between Italy and towns in Abkhazia signed earlier this month. On the 18th of May, a Maestro TV journalist, Sanaya, aired several reports assessing Georgian Dream's delivery on campaign promises, and also took to the acute problem of nepotism in the current and previous government. It had interviews on the street with many people saying that the Georgian Dream are failing to deliver on promises. 2 days later, the government press office released a lengthy statement saying that Maestro TV's program was clearly biased. The statement also reads that some media outlets have stepped up groundless allegations and slander against members of the Georgian Dream coalition ahead of upcoming local elections. They need to just get over that. The hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, TI Georgia, commented that the rhetoric employed by the government in its statement can be assessed as an attempt to meddle in the TV station's editorial policy. I mean, this kind of hypersensitivity to criticism that was so destructive under Saakashvili led to huge problems and really should be avoided by this government. Georgian Young Lawyers, GYLA, issued its first pre-election monitoring report assessing the election campaign as well as budget infractions by the local government in the regions of Ajada, Guria, Imereti, Shita Kartli, Kvemo Kartli, Kacheti, Mtsetim, Tianeti, and Samagrello. The report covers the month of April 2014. Gala reported three incidents of violation of campaign agitation rules by public service servants, one incident of misuse of administrative resources, one case of vote buying, seven cases of criminal prosecution possibly related to the election process, 18 cases of public servants questioned regarding their involvement in election campaigns, one incident of physical assault in relation to campaigning, and nine incidents of work dismissals on allegedly political grounds. Kindergartens and schools closed this week throughout Georgia after there was an outbreak of viral meningitis over the last few weeks, with 142 cases so far, which is a pretty good number. Health and Education Ministries decided to close schools up to the sixth grade until the 27th of May to implement sanitation measures. Who knows what sanitation measures are going to be implemented. I mean, I think it's just a wait it out till the summer holidays. According to the health ministry, there is no vaccine for the virus. The most effective way to avoid infection is through good personal hygiene. There was a wake of fake bomb threats in Tbilisi on the 20th of May. Ilya University was twice evacuated and inspected after a call that there was a bomb. There was a report about a bomb at school number 2 at private apartments on Paliashvili number 33 in Vake, and a report about an explosive device at school number 55. No bombs were discovered, of course. As a reminder, in September 2013, there were a number of fake bomb reports at various TV companies, Parliament, Tbilisi Airport, and at schools. Following the false threats, the government proposed tougher punishments for fake bomb reports, fining the parents of minors who called in the bomb threats. Georgia's National Communication Commission, which oversees the activities of the country's broadcast and telecommunications companies, elected Vakhtang Abashidze is its new chairman for a term of 3 years. This is the first time the head of the GNCC was elected. Abashidze was the only candidate and received the support of all five commission members. He previously served as GNCC head from 2000 until 2004. During Misha's era, the GNCC chairman was picked by the president, and critics accused the institution of politicizing the media. The Georgian government now has official Twitter and Facebook accounts in the Abkhazian language in order to raise awareness among Abkhazian speakers about current political, social, and cultural events happening in Georgia. The links posted on the forum. Board of Trustees of the Georgian Public Broadcaster elected a new chair through secret ballot. Grigol Gogelia will chair the board for the next 3 years. From September to December 2013, Gogelia worked in the GPP Advisory Council. Previously, he was a senior specialist at the Strategic Development Department at the GNCC. There will be a time limit for TV and radio advertising. The Georgia National Communications Commission is working on changes to the law on advertising that will be proposed to Parliament, according to GNCC member Kaha Bekauri. Following the advice of the Council of Europe, the advertising is no more than 20% of broadcasting time per hour. However, after 2004, the regulations were removed, and advertising time is, in fact, currently unlimited. Government plans to stimulate domestic... And can I mention, there are no advertisements on Spielblatt.com. We could be rolling in the cash if we wanted to have advertisements, but we don't, out of deference to and respect for you, our listeners, so you know. So feel free to thank us if you feel like it. Government plans to stimulate domestic production through a new state program called Produce in the Country and will invest 46 million lari in the program. According to the Minister of Agriculture, Shalva Pipia, any entrepreneur wishing to start a new business venture will be eligible to receive low-interest loans ranging from 1% to 3%. Those living in the regions will enjoy additional privileges. The EBRD forecasted a slowdown in Georgian economic growth in 2014 due to the Ukraine crisis. In 2013, Ukraine was Georgia's third largest trading partner. But the month-long crisis is significantly impacting Georgia's foreign trade as exports from Georgia to Ukraine dropped 55%. This was the basis for the EBRD to reduce the indicator of economic growth projected for 2014 down to 4%, which is 0.5% less than the forecast at the beginning of January, but still pretty high, actually, looking at the at Western Europe and the region and the developed world and Central Asia and everyone else. But Georgia's government, the Georgian government expects economic growth of 5% in 2014. A delegation of the Korean National Water Company, K-Water, paid a working visit to Georgia to discuss with the Georgian Partnership Fund, which projects involving international investors, about the future construction of a hydropower plant on the Neskra River in Svaneti. The president of the fund, Irakli Kovzanadze, says the construction of the HPP will not cause environmental problems such as flooding or forced resettlement of local residents. The capacity of the Neskra HPP production will amount to 1.3 billion kilowatt hours. Once it's in operation, Georgia will have a guaranteed energy supply in wintertime and will be able to sell electricity in the summertime, or so they say. Cost of the project is $600 million. Tourist season in Ajada will be officially opened on the 31st of May. According to Mamuka Bertzanashvili, Deputy Director of Tourism Department of Ajada, the season opening in Batumi will be celebrated with various sporting and musical events. Several festivals are planned throughout the summer, such as the Batumi Jazz Festival. There'll be an increase in the number of charter flights going to Batumi during the summer, according to the Department of Tourism. Siberian Airlines will add an additional flight per week from Moscow. Flights between Batumi and Tbilisi will take off 4 times a week. Belavia Airlines will increase its flight from Minsk to Batumi from 2 to 4 times a week. From the end of May till the end of October, flights between Tel Aviv and Batumi will operate 2 times a week. The number of charter flights from Poland will also increase. From the 7th of June, 3 charter flights will be launched from Warsaw to Batumi. From the 14th of June, a new route will be added in the direction of Katowice, Poznan, Batumi. More flights are also expected from Ukraine. Ukrainian international airlines will fly to Batumi 4 times a week from June and 6 times per week between Kiev and Batumi during the busy season. National Tourism Administration is planning a new project in Tbilisi called Mobile Guides. Students fluent in English and Russian will be eligible for the program to work as tour guides, providing foreign tourists with the information about the capital. The selected students will be stationed at Liberty Square on Rustaveli Avenue, Chardeni Street, Abanotubani, and the Narikala Fortress. Parliament postponed the review of a bill proposed by civil rights groups aimed at preventing illegal government surveillance. The review was postponed because Parliament was unable to reach a quorum. Parliament's Vice Speaker, Manana Kobakhidze, said the hearing would be held next week at a special session. However, the most debated part of the proposed bill, of who would hold the key to the black boxes, that is, who would have control over the various spying devices and secret recordings, was postponed until November. NGOs insist the telecommunications company should hold the key, which they clearly should, while the Ministry of Internal Affairs argues that it should keep the key because it wants to, even though it's a clear violation of privacy laws within the Constitution. A special commission will work on the issue until the 1st of November. The registration of members of Parliament showed that 72 MPs were in the Parliament, 4 short of the quorum of 76. The Parliament was planning to go on a 1-month recess because of the upcoming June local elections, but now it may convene another session since it failed to pass a number of bills this past Friday, the 16th of May. Parliament's budget for the next year will be an increased 2.6 million lari to 55 million lari. The increased amount will be used for labor remuneration and for the maintenance of vehicles. Members of Parliament already approved the budget. Ministry of Defense proposed a bill for the ministry's annual funding should not be below 2% of the country's GDP, which are NATO guidelines. 660 million lari was allocated to the ministry in 2014, which 2.2% of this year's forecasted GDP. The same amount was allocated to it last year, which was 2.4% of the 2013's GDP. The proposal is part of a legislative amendment package to the law and defense, which will also create a legal framework for the recently established State Security and Crisis Management Council chaired by the Prime Minister. It replaces the National Security Council that was chaired by the President. Under the proposed bill, some presidential authorities will be transferred to the government, such as submitting to Parliament approval of the National Security Plan, plans for military operative arrangements, as well as civil defense and development, use, and mobilization of armed forces. In Kvitis Azrebi this week, writer Shota Iatashvili talked about crime, punishment, vendettas, and aggression in Georgian society. He argued that in Georgia, changing regimes creates a new criminal world with no side admitting responsibility for their crimes and problems it creates in the larger society. Because of the lack of forgiveness, society has become more resentful and aggressive, and Georgia instead needs to return to a time when people cared for each other. It's a really great show. For those Georgian speakers listening, I recommend taking a look at this week's Kvitis Azrebi. The meme this week is from an anti-gay demonstration in front of the old parliament in Georgia. The video shows two homophobic men getting in a fight after one man accuses the other homophobe of being a faggot. The man in the purple shirt overheard an interview with a man standing next to him regarding if the LGBT community would celebrate the 17th of May. It appears he didn't understand the context of the question and assumed that the man was giving who was giving the interview was gay. After a few minutes, they started insulting each other verbally and physically, sort of pushing and shoving until they were pulled apart and the police intervened and separated them. And it's just an incredibly excellent video that I hope everyone will watch. Take a look at some photos published by civil.ge from the anti-gay rally that was ironically held on Anti-Homophobia Day in Tbilisi on the 17th of May. Young people at the demonstration carried posters saying that homosexuality is a sin and that it is pathological. Another sign read that those people protecting gay rights are making the nation immoral. An article by Gio Chitadze in Tabula about the upcoming June local elections, he writes that the number of voters in large numbers of electoral districts is unequal. Consequently, the electoral system is often criticized for failing to ensure equality in terms of voting rights. However, to revise the borders of electoral districts and formally equalize the number of voters could translate into a threat of gerrymandering. An article by Diana Chachua of Transparency International Georgia about the digital switchover. On the 1st of July, the GNCC will reveal the winners of a competition that will build and operate the country's infrastructure for digital terrestrial broadcasting, which will effectively switch off analog television. The government will launch a nationwide PR campaign to inform the public about why they should switch to digital TV. The author lists seven facts you should know beforehand. An article on CRRC's blog about paternalism in Georgia. According to their data from 2009 to 2012, Georgians reported that citizens are like children and that the government should take care of them like a parent. This trend changed in 2013 when slightly more Georgians felt that the government should behave like an employee rather than a parent. An article in Democracy and Freedom Watch, reporter Mari Nikuradze about Tserovani, a settlement of refugees from South Ossetia after the August 2008 war. The refugees speak about their lives and various problems like lack of agricultural lands, employment, access to clean water, and other issues. An article in Vice.com by Jordi Perdigio and Christina Aduela about the game Lelo, which is a cross between wrestling and rugby and is popular in southwestern Georgia. The village of Shukhuti is known for playing the game every Easter Sunday in remembrance of the dead. Both a sport and a tradition, the game is about passion and strength, but also faith and devotion. All this stuff to read will be posted on the forum. This week's geocapital number is 1.3, which is Georgia's increase in the producer price index in April 2014, according to Geostat, compared to the corresponding month of the previous year. For comparison, Russia's PPI for the same period was 7.2. For Armenia, it is 6.3. Amidani Movie Theater, close to Philharmonia, is showing daily screenings of English movies. This week until the 28th of May, you can watch Godzilla at 2:50, The Other Woman at 5:30, X-Men Days of the Future Past at 7:30 and 10:30 p.m. For the month of May, Dom Kino across from Rustavelli McDonald's will be showing on Friday, the 23rd of May, Vera Drake. On Saturday, the 24th of May, Easy Rider. On Sunday, the 25th of May, Another Year. All movies start at 7 p.m. On the 23rd of May at 7 p.m. at the Goethe Institute, they'll be screening the documentary Euro Maiden Rough Cut, followed by a discussion with the film's producer in English. Address is 16 Zundu Kelly Street. In London on the 23rd of June at 7:30, the British George Society invites you to an exciting and innovative event exploring the powerful rituals women initiate when attempting to influence the weather for special occasions. Tickets are £25 and are available via the Northern Georgian Society at northerngeorgiansociety.co.uk. On the 14th of May, the National Scientific Library will host a photo exhibition and present six documentary projects on cities, objects, people, and places across the globe. Addresses number 4, Merab Alexidze Street, Tbilisi. Working hours are Monday through Friday, 10 to 6, Saturday to Sunday, 11 to 3. On the 24th of May at 11 a.m., the New Wine Festival will be held at the Ethnographic Museum. The festival aims to give guests, wine experts, and sommeliers the possibility to taste wine made in various regions of Georgia, and will present a great variety of Kvevri wines. The next works in progress will be on the 28th of May at 6:15 p.m. Philip Rudaz from the University of Freiburg will present The Emergence and Evolution of Entrepreneurship in Georgia. The address is number 3, Kafsadze Street in Vake. Sounds interesting. Throughout the UK, the Northern Georgian Society is organizing cultural workshops by eminent musicologist Nana Mjavanadze. She developed a unique singing and teaching repertoire, and a true to tradition, songs are shared by developing a musical ear and without sheet music. You can find detailed information about Nana's workshop at Northern Georgian Society. That's northerngeorgiansociety.co.uk/events. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tpeelpod@gmail.com, or post to the forum on our website at www.tpeelpod.com. And we will finish with Duke Ellington from 1943, It Don't Mean a Thing. By the way, Duke Ellington kissed me when I was an infant, for your own information.
Don't mean a thing if you ain't got that swing. All you gotta do is swing. Makes no difference if it's sweet or hot. Just give that rhythm every little thing you've got. It don't mean a thing if you ain't got that swing.